Hello everyone, you're welcome to this episode of the Resilient Mind Podcast. My name is Dennis Agbeti, popularly known as Coach Dennis, and on this episode we'll continue what we started talking about on the last episode, that's dealing with the feelings of suicide. And last episode we mentioned five feelings that can drive someone to start thinking about suicide. The first is the feeling of hopelessness. The second is the feeling of helplessness. The third is the feeling of lack of love or lack of connection. The fourth is a feeling of tiredness. And the last is the feeling of meaninglessness. So we talked about three on the last episode. If you've not listened to that, you can just check the previous episode, and you know, just so that you can understand and flow with this episode. Remember we said last episode, I'll quickly recap, that feelings drive action, emotions drive action. So for someone to get to the point where he or she takes his or her life is because he has certain feelings and emotions that he has been experiencing for a while that has moved or driven him or her to start committing, to start thinking or considering suicide. And we said we're going to talk about five of those emotions, right? So the first is a feeling of hopelessness. Actually, an intense feeling of hopelessness, right? Intense feeling of helplessness, intense feeling of lack of love, intense feeling of tiredness, and of intense feeling of meaninglessness. I'd love to add two things to what I shared last episode about the feelings of hopelessness. One of the things about designing hope and in such a way that it does not come to a point where you start considering suicide. Remember we said that hopelessness, when there is no hope, there is no life. People begin to consider taking their life when they begin to feel like there is no hope. There's no hope in sight. This is an hopeless situation, right? When they begin to feel like the situation is hopeless, their life is hopeless, then the next thing is to just take their lives. They will start thinking about taking their lives, right? And I share that you need to begin to take hope very important, or take hope very serious in your life. And hope has to do with what you're looking forward to, what you're expecting. And I share that you have to intentionally design your hope. Now, in designing your hope, you must convert your hope into goals, right? What you are hoping for, you must be able to convert that hope into goals. How do you convert them into goals? Is by, you know, writing what you want down and putting a date to it, right? When you're converting hope to goals, right, expectation to goals, is that you are now writing it down and you are making up your mind to pursue that hope, right? So converting hope to goal is an intentional process. It doesn't happen by mistake. So when you clarify what you want or what you're looking forward to, it is important to intention to be specific about it, right? Then it's important to put date to it. So there's a model for setting goals. We call it SMART, right? So convert your hopes into SMART goals. What I mean by that, your goals, your hopes become specific. S stands for specific, M stands for measurable, A stands for action or actionable, R stands for realistic, right? And T stands for time bound. There's a time frame attached to it. So it has to be specific. Don't just have hopes that are just vague. Because if they are vague, they're not going to come to pass. And if they don't come to pass, you're going to feel hopeless. Like that hope itself will begin to design your pain, right? Will begin to architect your pain. So it's important that you design your hope. Convert your hope into goals, specific goals. Let those goals be specific, measurable, actionable, realistic, and time-bound. If you are interested, if you want me to help you, right, to convert your hopes into goals, and you have goals for different areas of your life, like I shared in the comment section, please, you can reach out to me on Instagram at Dennis Agbeti on Instagram, or you can send me a mail, dennisagbeti@gmail.com. I'm going to write the details in the description under the podcast. So please, it's important. If you need help with that, I'm running a program that is starting. It runs all through the year, every quarter, right? Strategic accountability program. If you want to be part of it, you can join. I'm helping people to design their hopes, right? To have clear hopes, clear goals, right? And then you break down your goals into plans, strategic plans, actionable plans. Then over a period of 6 months, I'm going to hold you accountable such that you follow through on your goals. You build the discipline, right? The focus and the tenacity to follow through on the details of your goals. You create simple steps that can help you achieve your goals, and I hold you accountable to taking those actions as your coach. If you are interested, you can reach out to me on Instagram, right, at Dennis Agbeti, or send me a mail, dennisagbeti@gmail.com, so that we can work together. Life can be interesting. Life can become joyous in spite of the challenges if you understand how to design your hope. Another thing about setting hopes and goals is that many people, the reason why their hope begin to be the essence of their misery, where the hope they have begin to architect their pain, is when you set goals or set hopes with unrealistic expectations, right? A lot of people set goals with unrealistic expectations, such that those hopes will not happen because they are not realistic. And because they don't happen, they begin to feel hopeless. They begin to give up about life. And when you sit down with them, you realize that they were having unrealistic expectations about life, right? So when they don't get it, they begin to feel like failures, and they begin to feel like, what is there for me in life? It is important that as you set your goals and set your hope, you ensure they are based on realistic expectation. There's what we call reality check. So take your hopes and goals through reality check to be sure that these goals are realistic, such that you don't set up yourself for frustration. A lot of people are frustrated because of unrealistic expectations about finance, unrealistic expectation about marriage, unrealistic expectation about parenting. It is important that you set goals on, and that's why it's important to join this strategic accountability program. Although this strategic accountability program is starting with a goal setting and a strategic planning masterclass, which is 2 days on the July 2nd and 3rd, right? We are starting with them. If you want to be part of that too, you can reach out to me on Instagram, or you can send me a mail at dennisagbeti@gmail.com. Okay. So if you have any question, you can write it, whatever platform you are listening, you can ask the question in the comment session. I really want to hear from you. I want you to share with me, share your own. How does this podcast, this episode relate to you? How does it resonate with you? Share your thoughts with me. I would love to hear from you. Right. So the first feeling that can drive people or drive someone to committing suicide is the feeling of tiredness. The feeling of tiredness. When the feeling of tiredness become intense, it can hijack the brain, and the next thing someone is thinking about ending it all. Tiredness, when you are exhausted, exhaustion is not, it's very dangerous. Because when you are tired, you begin to make wrong decisions. When you are tired, you begin to behave in certain ways that you don't even expect. And that's why it's important to pay attention to rest. It is important to pay attention to intentional renewal of your body and of your mind. Now, let's look deep into the issue of tiredness and what brings tiredness, right? Now, a lot of people don't know how to manage their energy. Emotion is simply human energy in motion. Emotion is energy in motion. And anytime you lose control of your emotions, you begin to lose energy. And when you lose energy, that means you are depleting your energy and your strength. You are definitely going to be tired. And when you are tired, you become vulnerable. Right? You become vulnerable. You become, and if it becomes intense and prolonged, it can be, people begin to think about suicide. And that is why it's important to take good care of yourself. Manage stress well, right? Manage your energy well. Okay. So energy management is very, very important. Now, let's talk about the things that drains you. The things that have the capacity to drain you. Behaviors that can drain you. So these are things you do daily that drains you emotionally, that bring you to a place of emotional tiredness and exhaustion. Number one is nursing grudges, resentment, and anger. When you nurse grudges, resentment, and anger, it's going to drain you. Drain you emotionally, drain you mentally. You're going to be tired, right? And that's why it's important to let go of anger, let go of resentment, let go of grudges. Number two is when you don't have enough sleep. Lack of sleep can really, really lead you to, that can drain you emotionally. Number three is worrying about things you cannot control. When you worry about things you cannot control, it will drain you. You begin to be emotionally drained. Number four, unforgiveness. Number five, eating unhealthy foods and poor diet. Number six, complaining and murmuring. Number seven, dealing with toxic people and environment. When you're working with people who are toxic, even when you talk to them, you spend some time with them, you are so drained. And it's important that you avoid those people. Right, or cut away from those people. Okay, number eight is negative self-talk. What you tell yourself can drain you. What you keep telling yourself can drain you. Number nine is conflict and quarrels. Number 10, isolating yourself. Number 11 is holding on to regret and guilt. Number 12 is holding on to the past. Overthinking and overanalyzing. Number 14, taking things personally. Number 15, sedentary lifestyle. You are working in the office and you sit down for a long time. You sit down for a long time, for 7 hours every day, 8 hours stretch. You are going to be exhausted. You are going to be emotionally drained. It is important that every 2 hours you stand up, you take a short walk, you stretch. Okay. Number 6, gossiping and bad mouthing. They drain you emotionally. So if you want to always feel refreshed, you have to refrain from this list I just gave you, right? Refrain for it. Take time to sleep well, right? Sleep every day. However busy you are, create time for sleep and rest. Drink a lot of water. Stay hydrated. Drink a lot of water during the day. Don't wait until you are thirsty before you drink water. Take a lot of water. It's good for your mind, good for your brain, good for your body. Eat, reduce your intake of sugar. Reduce your intake of caffeine. Reduce your intake of alcohol. Okay? Eat fruits, a lot of fruits. Take a lot of vegetables. Reduce your intake of junks. Exercise. We're talking about dealing with tiredness. Exercise at least 3 times a week. It refreshes you. Spend time with family and friends. It refreshes you. Okay? Because tiredness is dangerous. Okay? So the next feeling that leads us, the fifth one. So remember, we've done the feeling of hopelessness, the feeling of lack of love, the feeling of helplessness. We've just gone through the feeling of tiredness. And I've shown you the things you do every day that can make you tired, that make you feel tired about life. Refrain from those things. And I've also shared the things you can do that can help you, you know, that can help you feel refreshed. Take time to rest. Rest is very important. Rest and sleep are tools of productivity. Rest and sleep are tools of productivity. So we go to the last one, the feeling of meaninglessness. The feeling of meaninglessness. This is a major reason why people begin to consider suicide. When it appears like your life does not make sense. When you don't know, like, why am I on earth? You don't know why do I even have to go through all this, right? So when there is lack of meaning to your life, and this is very, very common even with successful and wealthy people. You see people who have all the money, have all the fame, they have the accomplishment, they have the relationships, they have power, they have influence, they have, family, they have a wife, they have a husband, they have children, and they seem to be happy, and they still committed suicide. When you probe into them, you find out that one, the major thing is that regardless of all those things, they were not able to find the meaning for their lives. When there is no meaning to life, you don't know what's the essence. So you have everything apart from meaning. You have everything apart from the essence of life. You don't know the essence. You're like, why all these things I have? What's the essence? What's the meaning? And that's why it's important that you are clear about your purpose in life. Because what gives your life meaning are not things, are not necessarily the success, achievement of ambition. What gives life meaning is in your contribution to life. It's in purpose, finding the essence why you're on earth. It is very, very important. Meaning is important. Purpose, finding your life assignment, a cause to live for. You can have everything, have the money, have the fame, have properties, and still not have, you know, something to live for. Something that suits your soul. Something that fits your core, that fulfills you. So lack of meaning leads to lack of fulfillment. So when you are successful and you are not fulfilled, it's a dangerous place to be. When you are successful, when you have the fame, you have the money, you have a wife, you see some men, they have a lot of concubines and they are not still fulfilled. When the feeling of lack of fulfillment and lack of meaning becomes intense, it can lead people to committing suicide. If you are young, you are listening to me, one of the major things you have to answer is, why are you on earth? What really fulfills you? You need to find it. Because that's one going to be an anchor to your soul. You see people who have gotten to the height of their career and they are depressed. Because they are not fulfilled. Where does fulfillment come from? It comes from the actualization of your purpose and your core values. What's your purpose? What's your purpose? In a generic sense, I'm just going to share something about purpose. So purpose is basically why you're on earth, right? The essence for life. And in a generic sense, the essence for life is three or four major things. The essence of life is four major things. And now there are specifics to it. You find what yours is, right? And many a time when you make up your mind to begin to do these three, four things I'm going to share with you, your own unique assignment begins to find you. But it won't find you until you decide that you are going to live by these four things. The essence of life, number one, is to love. Number two is to serve. Number three is to give. Number four is to help. We can even merge help and service together. So three major things: to serve, to love, and to give. When I mean give, to contribute. So you need to know that life is made for contribution, not necessarily for acquisition. It's not about what you can get. What I can get for myself. I want a house. I want a car. I want money. I want fame. I want power. I want influence. The real essence of life is that you are contributing. You are creating value. You are people. The society is grateful that you are alive. People are grateful you are alive. Your life is unlocking gratitude in people. Somebody is saying, oh, I'm so grateful that you are alive. That what you live for is adding smile, joy, and happiness, bringing joy and happiness to others. And that can be found in you serving. When we say serve, you solve people's problem with your gift, with your skill, with your capacity, with your relationship. You are solving problems. You are meeting needs. People around you. Many a times, people that cannot even pay you back. You are loving. You're sharing love. You are sharing kindness. You are compassionate. You are touching lives. And you are giving. So when you decide that to begin to give, to begin to love, to begin to open your heart to touching people, to helping people, even when even yourself you have your challenges, but you go out of your way to help somebody, however small, you have something to live for. You could make up your mind that you're going to begin to feed families, at least two families every month. What problems can you solve? What problem? And I'm saying things that you can do that is not about pay. When you find meaning in your work, when you find a sense of service, a sense of loving, a sense of contribution, it gives a proper meaning to your life. Research has shown that people that live a life of purpose, they live longer. When you are living for legacy, what are we going to remember you for when you leave this earth? Have you started living it now? What do you want to live for? Okay? That's the first side to meaning. The second part to meaning and fulfillment is the meaning you are giving to the situations in your life, to the past situations in your life, and to the present circumstances in your life. If you give your situation a disempowering meaning, it can lead you to depression, lead you to anxiety, and these two emotions can drive you to start considering suicide. I want to say something and I don't want you to forget. Nothing has meaning except the meaning you give to it. Every situation in your life does not have meaning except the meaning you give to it. So anytime you find yourself feeling sad, feeling frustrated, feeling overwhelmed, feeling dissatisfied, it is because you have given a disempowering meaning to your situation. So one of the ways to manage meaningfulness in life is to be intentional and to take responsibility for the meaning you are giving to the situations in your life. When you are going through a difficult time, how are you interpreting that situation? How you interpret that situation will determine how you feel, and how you feel will determine how you behave. So are you aware of the interpretation, the meaning you are giving to life? So I'm telling you that you can choose the meaning you are giving to situation. So take for example, probably you were retrenched from work, and they laid you off in a very, unpleasant manner. What interpretation are you giving to that situation? If you give that the situation like, oh, my life is finished, this is the end of my life, this is the end of my career, if that's the interpretation you are giving to that situation, you're going to feel bad, you are going to feel sad, you probably begin to feel hopeless, and then you're thinking about ending your life. But somebody else can be retrenched from work, and the person say, oh, this rejection I just got from work, it's begin to interpret it as, this is a redirection to my life. This means that something better is coming for me. Oh, this means that this is an opportunity to get a better job. Or this is an opportunity to take time to learn. This is an opportunity to choose a better career path. Or this is a beginning of a new thing for me. The interpretation you are giving to the situation in your life will determine the level of the quality of meaning you are operating in, and that will sustain your life. So I want to challenge you today, take charge of the meaning, the interpretation you are giving your life. There's something we say in neuropsychology that change your interpretation to change your life. In neuro-linguistic programming, change your interpretation to change your life. If you change the interpretation, and the interpretation you give to your situation is under your control. You may not be able to control what is happening to you, but you can control how you interpret what is happening to you. You may not be able to control what people are doing to you, but you can control your interpretation of what they are doing to you. Change your interpretation today. Take charge of your meaning. If you need help, maybe you understand what I'm saying, but you will need me to take you through these things step by step. You can apply, you can sign up for therapy sessions with me, and I'm going to help you. Once you change the interpretation of your life, you change. So you can reach out to me on Instagram at dennisagbeti.com. Just send me a DM or send me an email, dennisagbeti@gmail.com. And sign up for therapy sessions. Our coaching session, so I can take you through, and you're going to see how you observe that your life will begin to change. You begin to feel a new energy. You're going to feel new energy about life. Right. If you have any question and you have any comment, you can share in the comment section. We've come to the end of this episode. I hope you got value, right? And I would love you to share. I will implore you to share this podcast, the link, with your friends, right? With your friends, with your contacts, all right? I would love to hear from you, all right? Comment, sign up, whatever platform you're listening to this, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, AudioMac, Spotify, please sign up, follow me, right? Subscribe, comment, like, share, right? So that this message can get to more people. And if you love to connect with me, you can send me an email at dennis@gritty.com. All right, until I come your way next episode, that's next week, make sure you take charge of your emotions. Goodbye.